2013 season begins now. Welcome to 49ers Total Access, an inside look at the San Francisco 49ers.
Touchdown, 49ers!
49ers Total Access with Joe Fonzi and Melissa Galvin.
Get him!
Touchdown,
49ers! 49ers Total Access is presented by Stanford Hospital and Clinics, the official healthcare partner of the San Francisco 49ers.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Joe Fonzi.
And I'm Melissa Galvin.
And welcome once again to 49ers Total Access. Coming up on today's show, he was one of the great stories of this summer's training camp, and we have linebacker Michael Wilhoit wired for sound.
In a season of reflection at Candlestick Park, we take a look at one of the great moments, Joe Montana's return from back surgery.
And in a more recent memory, last season's playoff game against the Green Bay Packers when Colin Kaepernick came of age before the entire nation. We're coming to you this week from Candlestick Park, where the 49ers opened the season against the Green Bay Packers.
You can't go to the Super Bowl as the 49ers did last year without high expectations for the following season.
Recently, some of this year's 49ers sat down and talked about their goals for 2013.
Goals for this season?
I'm going to set a goal for yourself
to be the best overall player I can be.
I mean, that's your goal.
Goals?
Well, we're going to start small and go big. Win week one, win the division, win the NFC, and win the Super Bowl.
Collectively, as a football team, our goal is to win our division first and foremost. You can't get a high seed in the playoffs. You can't really write your own ticket if you don't win your division first and foremost. That's our number one goal. Our second goal is to get one of those top seeds and, you know, playoff seed. And then our third goal is to get back to where we were last year and seal the deal.
Our goal as a team is, you know, to win every time we step on the field. I don't think that's going to change. I think Coach Harbaugh really sets the tone about that, and everyone's bought in.
First time I met Coach Harbaugh, it was very clear why I'm here. And so I'm focused on doing my job. It's all about the team and see how far we can take this thing.
Competitive maneuver!
Nothing high, nothing high. See if you can't lengthen up the hitch.
Let's go, move low and fast, low and hard, let's go!
Compete, compete, compete.
I think everybody's got personal goals, and number one should always be to get better and to understand my position better and what can I do to help this team. I think as a unit, we have a goal every day to get better as a unit, and that's something that's very hard to do, to really come together as five guys and really say, all right, well, today we're going to do this. We're gonna get better in communication. We're going to get better in footwork. We're going to be one today. And that's what you're always striving to do, but those are tough goals. Every day you go out, some days you're tired. Some days you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be out there, but you got to keep reminding each other we're out there for each other. And anytime somebody's taking a play off, it's hurting the other four guys.
Your goal coincides with the team's goals. You know, the better you do, the better the team is. So, you know, getting to come here, I could basically start over, you know, with new people, new coaches, you know, new people that believe in you. So, you know, it's been a real positive thing, and I just try to take one day at a time and just keep on working.
Just as an athlete, especially like at this level of the game, you always want to win. You know, communication in front of the line, to the echoes, to the receivers, to the quarterback, putting that all together and winning. I mean, that is the goal. And I mean, that's of course why we're here, and we can win them all. That's what we want to do, of course.
My mindset is to get back there and win it. You know, every year that I'm playing, that's the ultimate goal. And I think, you know, it's great for me to come here after winning the Super Bowl, because I'm here with a bunch of guys that are hungry. You know, they feel the same way that I do about winning. And I think coming here allows me not to get comfortable, not to be complacent. That's one of the reasons I didn't celebrate after the Super Bowl. You know, I didn't go to the White House. I didn't go to the ring ceremony, because I want to still have that hunger. I want to still have that passion. And coming here, you know, suits me perfect.
I want to get back to the promise now. First and foremost, you know, it's about the team. You know, all of us, we want to get back to the promised land, because, you know, it was a letdown for us last year. You know, it's not good enough to make it to the Super Bowl and lose it. You know, we want to make it back there and win it. But you know what? It's a process. You know, that's what training camp is all about. It's fine-tuning those skills and getting back on track. And, you know, every day we try to focus on one thing that we can put our hands on and just take it and store it in our toolbox. So, I mean, that's what we do every day.
The way I look at it is the team goal is always Super Bowl, and it's always to win the Super Bowl. And that's been the same
you know, throughout my entire career. And I've always set personal goals as far as what I want to accomplish. That's not so much an objective, like I need to make the Pro Bowl. It's I need to get better, and I need to, you know, improve my punch on, you know, so-and-so protection. And I need to drive my feet a little bit better on the run game. And that's where my goals lie. It's not objective-based. And I feel like the only objective-based goal that I set during the year is to win the Super Bowl and do everything I can to make that happen.
It's nice to have high expectations once again associated with the 49ers.
In 1986, Joe Montana's goal was to just once again be a football player.
Who would have thought that in the same season you could return from serious back surgery?
I remember the entire week, one of the focus, at least in my mind, and I know the offensive line, was to make sure that they protected Joe very well.
I think the guys who had the most concern in that game really were the offensive linemen. Their coach, Bob McKittrick, at the time, threatened him with, I don't know what, with what, but they were all going, oh, no, Bob's going to have our head if we let somebody hit you today. A little worrisome for a little bit, at least till I took the first hit. I was only 187 pounds, I think, coming back from there. I really wasn't back to my full weight and strength, but physically I was ready to go. And I kind of looked for it in the game anyway, just to get that first hit out of the way, but this game more so than ever.
The thing about Joe is the way he can come back from injuries. We were playing the St. Louis Cardinals.
Little did we know that Joe would come out and just fire three touchdown passes.
Joe was electric all day long.
Going deep, he's throwing to the goal line to Rice. Touchdown, 49ers!
Joe was so precise in his passing and his selection and judgment.
Didn't miss hardly any throws, and we beat up on the Cardinals that day.
It was a great way to have your star quarterback return back to play.
Just to see this guy come back from injury like that, get back on the football field, and just be Joe of old really shows that he had a lot of character, he had a lot of heart.
49ers Total Access is presented by Stanford Hospital and Clinics, the official healthcare partner of the San Francisco 49ers.
Welcome back to 49ers Total Access, brought to you by Stanford Hospital and Clinics, the official healthcare partner of the San Francisco 49ers. You know, every long NFL season proves the importance of a full 53-man roster.
Michael Wilhoit and Daniel Kilgore provide important depth for the 49ers. Recently, we had them mic'd up.
Line on three. One, two, three. Ah!
Come on, baby!
Hey.
Day,
baby. You know we do it every day. Huh?
Come on.
Ball out. They gotta play some better country than this.
Better country is called rock and roll.
Yeah. I only got one problem.
What?
It's country music. This ain't country. This is pop country. There's a plan. Here we go. Hey, see? Some good music right here. Sweet home Tennessee.
Washburn.
They were probably confused. They were probably like, Washburn? Why they say it's high school? Washburn? Where that at? Canada?
I love starting on defense.
Yeah, you
got
to hit something.
Yes.
Right, this is it. Biggest game of my life right now.
Let's go, boys. Hey, let's go, Scoot. Report, Pat! Report!
Report!
Report! Come on, Bill.
Good tackle, Odie! Good tackle, boy! It's too easy! It's too easy! It's too easy! It's too easy.
Here you go. Hold on.
Stop.
Hey, good protection. Three steps right here. Huh?
Hold on.
They tired. They tired. Turn it up.
It was ugly, but when you score, it's always a little bit better.
Good job, Chad.
Go.
I got him coming back, bro.
Second and long.
Nickel. Safe. Block left.
They gonna run it.
Good tackle, Scooter. Good play, baby.
We ain't tired.
Hey, watch that mess. Watch the mess. Yeah. No.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm loving it, man. Just running around like a beast out there.
Trying to, man.
Yeah. 49ers Total Access is presented by Stanford Hospital and Clinics, the official healthcare partner of the San Francisco 49ers.
Welcome back to 49ers Total Access. You know, one of the great things about a team like the 49ers is there's no shortage of history. In their case, it dates all the way back to 1946.
Recently, one of the 49ers alumni celebrated his 80th birthday, and he even has a Green Bay connection.
The 49ers that took the field on opening day at Kezar Stadium in 1955 had a little different look than today. That 55 team had a rookie starting at right guard. Lou Palatella, taken in the 12th round, the 141st pick overall. To make the roster, Palatella had to overcome some big odds.
And I'll never forget this. You know, there was 12 guards trying to make the team, and they only kept three. All I kept thinking about, I can't go home. My friends say, "Hey, Lou, what happened?" Or Lefty. They used to call me Lefty. So I made the team. Red Strader was the coach, 1955.
This was pretty heady stuff for a rookie. Palatella blocked for running backs Hugh McElhaney, John Henry Johnson, and Joe Perry. How many guards can say they got a chance to block for all three running backs in the million-dollar backfield? But before he ever got in the lineup, Palatella had to survive training camp, which meant banging heads with Hall of Famer Bob St. Clair and another lineman who made an impression.
They pitted me against Leo Normalini. I grew up in a hurry. I mean, I'm in awe and I'm trying to make the team. And I kind of made him angry. I might have been holding. I don't know what the hell I was doing. And he picked me up, literally picked me up like this. And I'm pumping my legs and they were hitting the ground and he dumped me. I mean, you want to see strength. That's strength.
Palatella survived that rookie indoctrination and became a solid contributor to the 49ers at both guard positions.
With the aid of a key block by Lou Palatella, Hugh McElhaney takes the double handoff, circles right in, he goes for 16 yards, and a 49er touchdown.
By 1957, the million-dollar backfield had been broken up, but the 49ers were poised for the most successful season in their brief NFL history. Number 68 was right in the middle of the action. The 49ers won five of their first six games, won their last three in a row, and finished 8-4. That team made San Francisco's first postseason appearance, a heartbreaking 31-27 loss to Detroit that still stings to this day.
It's very vivid in my mind. We went in at halftime at 24-7. We were leading. The first play of the second half, McElhenney runs about 80 yards. And they caught him on the 3-yard line. And we couldn't put it in. And we had to kick a field goal. So now it's 27-7. That was the last time we scored. And they scored 31 points.
By 1958, Palatella's fourth year with the 49ers, he'd begun to put down roots in the Bay Area. That made a trade to the lowly Green Bay Packers a major inconvenience. Some guy named Lombardi had just been hired to coach the Packers, but no one yet knew what was in store.
I didn't go. And they got Fuzzy Thurston from Baltimore. And probably that's my biggest regret, not going.
The Lombardi-led Packers would win 5 NFL championships in the 60s. Out of football and establishing business contacts in the Bay Area, Palatella still had friends in the game who thought he could help them, like the 49ers' first head coach, Buck Shaw, who had been hired in Philadelphia.
He said, "Lou, we need a guard." "Ah, Buck, I'm out of a year." "No, no." And they offered me a very substantial increase. I said, "Pass."
In an era when teachers made more than football players, Lou Palatella had 4 productive years with the 49ers before putting down roots in the Bay Area where he still lives today. He's also watched the team he played for in its early years win 5 Super Bowl titles.
"You're a 49er, you are. You're, that's it. I root for them all the time. It goes unsaid. We know what it took, even with today's great athletes, to make the team. That's the key, make the team."
49ers football is presented by HP, proud technology partner of the San Francisco 49ers.
There is no shortage of great moments on which to reflect in this final season at Candlestick Park. Thanks to the 2011 and 2012 49er teams, some of them are a recent vintage. Just this past January, the 49ers opened the playoffs by hosting the Green Bay Packers. The game had a stunning beginning. On just his 4th play from scrimmage, Colin Kaepernick bought some time in the pocket and then threw a pass picked off by Sam Shields. Shields' 52-yard return put the Packers in front 7-0, barely 2 minutes into the game. But Kaepernick wasn't rattled. When his receivers were covered on his very next possession, he took off running on a 20-yard touchdown. This capped an 80-yard drive and was a sign of things to come on a long afternoon for the Green Bay defense. After the Packers had again gone in front by a score, Kaepernick found Michael Crabtree over the middle with a 12-yard touchdown pass. It was 14-all early in the second quarter. Once more for that combination. This time it's Kaepernick to Crabtree on a deep slant, threading the needle as Crabtree outduels Shields. 21-14, San Francisco. The game was tied at 24 midway through the third quarter when Kaepernick made a signature play.
The turn and... Kaepernick keeps it going outside to the right. He's running down the near side, and Kaepernick is gone! Colin Kaepernick with a great fake. He faked out the entire stadium.
The 49ers were again in front by a touchdown and carried the momentum the rest of the way. Frank Gore powered in for a score early in the fourth quarter. Kaepernick set a playoff record for quarterbacks, rushing for 181 yards. As the 49ers earned their way into the NFC title game with a 45-31 win. That will always be a great Candlestick moment for a whole new generation of 49er fans.
Hopefully there won't be these gusty winds at the new stadium in Santa Clara. Be sure to like us on Facebook for contests and ticket giveaways all season long.
Now for Melissa Galvin and our entire crew, I'm Joe Fonzie. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again next week on 49ers Total Access.
49ers Total Access has been brought to you by Stanford Hospital and Clinics, the official healthcare partner of the San Francisco 49ers. Catch exclusive 49ers shows through Xfinity On Demand. Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. And U.S. Bank, proud to be the official bank of the 49ers. Get more at 49ersbanking.com.